The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, it is the new year, and while it's often a time to save money, what about investing money? If you're looking to get into investments and not sure where to start, well, you're in luck because we're joined by Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone Ireland of askpaul.ie. Paul, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Very well. Are there any basic rules for investment? Like, what's the minimum you should commit?
Well, I suppose, look, you can get into investments in Ireland, typically speaking, from as little as €100 per month, to be honest with you. It's actually not that complicated. I think, like anything, you can go online, try and do a DIY job yourself, but it's probably not the best advice unless you're an extremely qualified, seasoned, and experienced investor. But yeah, usually, typically speaking, from €100 per month. But the major rules are, and we see this all the time with clients, is try and make sure you have an emergency fund in place first. So make sure if something goes wrong, you don't have to touch the investment account.
Yeah, because you might lose money
exactly.
if you have to cash it in at the wrong time.
Exactly. And we always say this to clients when we do some kind of financial well-being in corporates as well. We always ask the audience, put your hand up if you understand that the stock market goes up and down in value. Everyone puts their hand up. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And then we say, well, why don't you just invest and take your money out when it's up? And that actually is the trick to investing, is only take your money out when the market's up. If you know the market's going to go up and down in value, the trick is never to actually need the money back, say,
but
next year.
It's spotting the peak, though, isn't it?
But again, if the market, if you look at the markets over the last 10 years, if a few three down periods, you would have 7 opportunities to take the money out. But the emergency fund is there to protect you from taking the money out of the markets if something go wrong. I think that's the fundamental reason why people, and look at this in 2006 and 2007 when the markets crashed with the financial crash. Everybody had their money over index and property or had no real savings set aside in the emergency fund. Everything was invested.
Yeah.
So when the emergency hit, they had to encash all their assets at the wrong time when the market was down. But that wasn't the market's fault. People knew the market would go up and down in value. The next thing about it is, say that typical €100 was 10,000 or €100,000. If you have any short-term debt, let's say you have a credit union loan or a bank loan on a car, they're probably charging between 8 to 12%. There's no point in giving someone like me money to invest when I'm going to try and get you maybe 6 to 8% on average per annum if you know you can get 8% by overpaying your debt.
Yeah.
And we see this with people all the time with likes of credit union accounts where they'll have loans outstanding and they might have cash in the bank. You're basically borrowing your own money in that case.
Yeah.
You need
so
to pay it off. And then what you were paying towards the loan, put that money into the investment on a monthly basis. Because like I said, you're guaranteed to make yourself that 8 to 12%.
Now, you know the way people, they don't think ahead. You know,
yes.
They know they're going to be going on holiday.
Yes.
They know it's going to cost them X, Y, or Z, or maybe probably more.
Yeah.
And yet they don't make provision for it.
Exactly. Short-term provision is the third rule. Make sure you have your kind of short-term requirements for the next few years set aside. Now, you don't have to have it in cash today. If you know you're going to save X amount per month for your holidays next year, etc. That's what that's talking about. But same, we get this with people sometimes where have large deposits for houses and not buying until next year or the year after. You can't invest that money either. Because again, the market moves wrong. You need that. So making sure that you what you have in the next few years set aside is really important. I know we spoke about this in the show before Christmas, but if you are in that situation, don't just leave it on an Irish bank. You're going to be getting 0% or close to 0%. You want to be looking at the likes of Raisin.ie, Revolut, N26 to make sure that money works as hard as possible for you if you're in that situation where you can't invest, but you don't need access for a couple of years.
Now, people often think, I've got to be a high roller, I've got to be the Wolf of Wall Street to make money. But that's not so.
Not at all. You can access, in Ireland it's quite popular to use, the life insurance companies would have what's called managed funds, and they're quite popular in Ireland. There's billions in these funds in the Irish marketplace. One in particular we use did 24.72% in 2024, which is phenomenal. Well-diversified portfolio, been around since 1989, and since 1989 has an average return of 11% per annum. Now, up and down over those 35 years, but on average, 11% per annum. So you can access those funds from 100 a month. You know, we've got clients doing that, maybe recycling the children's allowance in there for college education purposes. And equally, clients that would have their pension funds in there with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and even millions invested in those type of funds. And that's a kind of what I call a DIY. Something like that's a real Ron Seal fund. That's exactly what it says in the tin.
Now, what about geographical diversity? I mean, you might have America booming and
really
Europe
important.
Bust.
Yeah, really important. There's three things you need to do. It looks at diversification. Yeah, I think my grandmother was the one who said this to me when I was a kid. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I think everyone's heard that saying before. Same with investing. You want to have, number one, your assets. So where you're actually investing your money. So yes, the stock market will probably be the best performer, but you also want to have a small amount maybe in cash, some in bonds, and maybe some of these funds will have a little bit of exposure to international property. Not a big deal if it's diversified well. So you're looking at different assets first, then the geographical regions, like you said. So yes, the US stock market makes up more than 65% of the world markets, but there still is the UK, there still is the EU. India has been doing quite well as well. So if you look at that, you want diversification. But then you also want the diversification pad in the different sectors. So, okay, tech has been flying, but you don't want all your eggs in one basket there. So different sectors, so from financials to technology stocks, you know, to maybe into the kind of pharmaceutical stocks. So they're the kind of big ones at the moment. But you want to have a well-diversified...
Industrial stocks still
industrial stocks are still there.
GE used to be the
and they're stable. Yeah, again, when you look at investing, there's a couple of different ways of looking. There's kind of what's called a growth stock, which would be pretty much all the tech stocks, and then a value stock. And a value stock would be kind of what you'd think of a company that would be paying out a good dividend every year, quite stable, wouldn't have massive growth, as in you're not going to see the 20-25% returns. You're going to get probably between 5-50 in last year, but still phenomenal returns. But typically safer valuations. I think the biggest problem is everyone's very nervous about tech stock and the valuations. And even in 2022, when interest rates went up, they were massively hit. Now they survived and they came back.
You know the
way
you hear about Nvidia and the stock price soaring, and then you hear it dropping, and the experts say, "Oh, that's profit taking."
Yes, it's profit taking. People taking money off the table. Yeah, and that's what happens with these valuations because they're so far out there, these valuations. But then if you look at the tech industry, you know, if you had gone back 20, 25 years ago, the phone we use for argument's sake has Apple in it now. Apple wasn't in it then. And would have had like the Nokia in there when everyone was using Nokia phones, for argument's sake. So you're looking at trying to get a fund that's going to be continually reinvesting. It's not just picking stocks. And that's why I'd always say to people, unless you're a really seasoned investor and you really know what you're doing, try not stock pick. You're gambling, in my opinion. And by the time you find out in the news what's happened when the stock has fallen, it's too late. You're gone. You're already gone. So using a investment manager that has really good experience, really well diversified portfolio, something that's invested in a little bit of everything, it is a really, really, really good idea. And like I said, it doesn't have to be complicated. I think people think of the Wolf of Wall Street or even the old 80s film Wall Street, and they think of guys on the trading floor screaming and shouting at each other. It's not that. It's a simple direct debit from your bank account into an investment account rather than a bank account or a savings account giving you 0% interest. And once you're aware that the market will move up and down, and if you can invest a little bit of money consistently over the long term and take it out when the market's up, that's really it. It's not that complicated once you get past that.
Okay, now talk to me about the year ahead, because Trump is coming in.
Yes, he is.
The tariff wars may happen. Greenland may fall to the US.
Yes,
the Panama Canal, there may be a battle over that. I don't know. It's a chaotic time.
It's a very chaotic time, but let's be honest, Trump is commercial and he also loves the stock market, in particular the New York Stock Exchange and the S&P 500. If you look what's going to happen this year, I think earning potentials for the S&P 500 companies, which are the top 500 companies on the New York Stock Exchange, earnings predictions are all going to be up around average 15%, which is great for the market. Second of all, it looks like the Fed are going to cut rates again. Cutting rates does two things. It's good for the economy, there's more money to spend, but also it's bad for the money markets, where you're getting a kind of decent return. They're going to fall, and there's trillions there that are going to flood probably back into the stock market. And then America has a really good, you know, young demographic with millennials coming into more money, as in more earning power, which again, good for the economy, good for investing. So I think this year is going to be another positive. I'm going to call double digits above 10%. I said that last year, the 25% odd, the S&P 500. And our flagship fund at 24%. Hopefully I'm wrong at 10. It might be north of that, but I do need to see a positive.
I mean, 10 would be great.
It'd be phenomenal. Year.
Now, have any of these funds ever collapsed?
No. Well, if you look at the managed funds as well, this is why it's so important, looking at diversification of these funds. These funds will typically hold 700 to 800 different equities, different holdings in them. And that's where diversification comes in. I think this is where we went wrong with the 2006, 2007 with property, where everyone was singly into one asset class. Yeah. in one region, and it went. So no, very, very, very difficult to find a managed fund that's been around for 30 odd years that's that diversified to be able to fold or to be able to fall. In 2007, the worst performance, I think, year was about 35%, but it was back up with 2 years.
Now, you know when they're talking about bond yields?
Yes.
Do they change? Or if you buy a bond with a particular coupon, 4% or whatever, is that what you get?
Yeah, when you buy a bond, you get a particular coupon. That's exactly what you get. But the price of that bond pack can change. So I might want to buy that bond off you in two years' time, and I might want to give you a higher, say you pay €100 for the bond, I might give you €102 for that bond because it's more attractive to me than it is to you. So you would have got your coupon of 4 and your extra €2 off me, so you would have got 6 in that year, for argument's sake.
Equally, I might lose money.
Equally, if you want to get rid of the bond before, say, you have a 10-year play, if you want to get rid of it in year 8, and for whatever reason, economically wise, the bond prices are down, you might only get €95 or €96 back, so you would have been down 4% in that year. So that's how bond price would work.
Questions coming in. What does Paul think of crypto?
Yeah, I knew this was going to come in. Look, to be honest with you, if you're looking at the likes of Trump and Elon Musk, I would think crypto's going to have another good year. Would I invest in it? Probably less than 5% of your assets, because equally it can go. It's not an underlying asset, it's a currency, and a currency is not supposed, why it was designed was to be a currency, and a currency is not supposed to fluctuate like this at all.
And Trump himself is in crypto.
100%. I think this is going to push the price.
And we know Musk is in crypto.
Yes.
But
yes,
there
and
is
different cryptos
reported
though as well.
Falling out between the two gents.
There has been at the moment, but again, if you look at what Elon Musk is trying to do, is trying to bring in a kind of payment through his Starlink account and through his SpaceX. And I think it's either XRP or one of these other coins that he's looking at using at the moment. There's a number of different coins to invest in if you're looking at. But I would say the word invest being very, very kind of... with a warning. You have to look at this. Most of this money, I'm not going to say crypto was a Ponzi scheme, but the amount of people coming into an asset class that has no underlying value, it's basically like me saying, I think the value of this mic today is €100 and you're willing to pay €150 tomorrow.
You know the way they talk about mining crypto?
Yes.
And they use massive computing power to kind of come across some sort of set of numbers.
Yes, that's all it is.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
It's a bit worrying that.
It is worrying, but in fairness, cryptocurrency, blockchain is actually a real thing. I think blockchain is here for the very, very, very foreseeable future, and it's actually really good, I think. The problem is these coins are based on the back of it. They're no underlying value. It's a kind of hope value that people are placing on. So the more people go into it, the higher it gets, which is like a Ponzi scheme. It will fall at some stage. But I do think, like I said, with likes of Trump and Elon Musk pushing it, you're probably going to see a good year.
This one, started investing in Revolut last year, needed to register for capital gains tax and file a return to the revenue. It's quite a confusing process for new and amateur investors. I knew nothing about how to file a return and how to factor in currency exchange gains or losses, as Revolut is trading in dollars.
Yes.
Is there any guidance without having to hire an accountant?
Yeah, don't do it. Get out now, pay your taxes and get into something like I spoke about earlier on, a managed fund, because you know, Revolut from a trading platform just doesn't suit the Irish market. Save at Revolut, get a decent return, and because they're regulated as a bank, they'll actually do the dirt tax for you. But when it comes to the investment gains, they won't. If you're getting dividends on anything, it's even worse. Again, I wouldn't be a big believer in using Revolut for that type of stuff at all.
I'm planning to start an investment account for my newborn and invest into it monthly, with the plan to give it to them when they're 20 or 21. Should I set it up in their name?
Oh, great name. This is a great question, actually. Technically speaking, if you're going to give it to the child in the future, so when they're 20, 21 or 30, put it into what's called a bear trust. A bear trust puts it, if it's under $3,000 per year, it's under what's called a small gifts exemption. That means all the money is theirs in the future. If you put it in your name and you're to give them, say, 20 or 30,000 euro when they're 21, in that case, it's going to be coming off their lifetime limit from a capital acquisition tax or inheritance tax point of view. So yes, put it in their name under what's called a bear trust, and we set these up on a regular basis for clients when they're doing that for their kids.
If you sell when stocks are high, what do you do with the money then?
Spend it. I mean, the thing here is that...
If you want to keep investing...
Well, if you're going to sell
when it's high...
Because
you don't need the money yet. You sell when it's high, you take the money out. Now what?
Why take it out if you don't need it? You know, the market was up last year, the year before, probably going to be up again this year. If you want to take it out, the best thing is probably to put into a high interest account, not an Irish bank account, as I mentioned earlier on. That's what I'd be doing. We're keeping it if you want to stay safe. But the problem is, you're probably going to go back in 6 months' time when you see the market's still up. So only take it when you need it. And you know, the biggest problem I find with clients, especially over 55 years of age, is they don't know how to spend the money or when to spend the money, because there's no financial plan. Yeah. They're just always in that terrified period.
Please ask your guest about tax implications for ETFs. My understanding is they're prohibitively complex as it stands.
They are. They're very
prohibitive.
An ETF is a trade fund. And it's basically, actually in Ireland, we produce trillions of these in the IFSC and export them all. And there's massive pressure under the Department of Finance to bring in a lower tax rate, because our tax is 41% exit tax rather than what they should be, which is capital gains tax at 33%. So yes, I think that the question's a great one. And yeah, it is a shame that it's taxed. So, by the way, ETFs are a great way to invest in what's called a passive play. So rather than a managed fund, you look at more of a passive indexing approach. And with an ETF, they're great investments. It shows that they're taxed probably higher than they should be in Ireland. And they have this 8-year rule as well around the theme disposal, which I won't get into today.
A final one. My mother in her 80s just sold her house and moved in with us. She's about 1.5 million cash in the bank. She's worried about investing it in case she needs it for medical purposes. Any advice?
100% needs a financial plan, Pat, because I'm finding there's a lot of people. They're so kind of worried about what might happen. They don't understand what they might need set aside. The big problem for that family as well, I'm not sure what age the mum is, did they say?
In her 80s.
In her 80s, yeah. The problem is, if the mum goes into the fair deal, that money, that money as well. So you really need a financial plan to see, do you invest the money? Do you put it into a high interest account? Probably at 80, you're not interested in investing it. Or do you start gifting it down to the next generation? And just be careful, if the fair deal scheme, for anybody listening as well, is interested in this, has a 5-year look back. So if you move the money to the kid's name now, your children's name now, and you end up in a nursing home for the next 5 years, they will look back at that money and claim it, thinking it's still the parents.
Still, okay.
So a lot of advice needed there, and a financial plan is really important in that situation.
Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone Ireland and askpaul.ie. Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.